Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, 29 March, 2026, Romans.
I like it when you come right down the front like that. That's good. See those guys in the back? They're trying to get as far away as possible. See, you're trying to get close as possible. Before we get started, we have a birthday. Tyrone, yesterday was his birthday. Now, how many guys for their birthday would come and work on work day at the church? You're a lucky guy. Happy birthday to Tyrone. Tyrone is the best of the best. We are so blessed to have him in this congregation. And also an announcement, I think I can get the right date this time. Today, after the second class, there will be a meeting for all team members who are going out to Indian Springs for the Easter party, Saturday, April 4th, from 9 to noon. That's today after the second class. All right. Okay. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 21. See, you thought you always are so smart when you come in here and know where to turn. Matthew chapter 21. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, it sounds to me like this is too loud. It's too loud. Microphone's too loud. We need to turn it down. Actually, I don't even need a microphone, but we're recording it and sending it out, so they like to be able to hear it. But I can talk loud enough without this. Testing, testing, testing. How we doing? Doing great?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, okay. Testing, testing, testing. No, I think that's okay. Isn't that okay?
Yes.
All right. All righty. Well, this is Palm Sunday, and next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And so this Sunday and next Sunday, Romans is going to be put on the back burner for the next couple Sunday classes. And we're going to take a look at, first of all, Palm Sunday. And this is described by Matthew. Come on in, come on in. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Palm Sunday, at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the first time, his incarnation and virgin birth, and then he, prior to his crucifixion, he came to Jerusalem. And he came to Jerusalem, and the people there cut palm branches, all kinds of palm branches, and put them down on the ground. And he rode the foal of a donkey in. And everybody was, they were cheering, and they were shouting, Hosanna, 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 Son of David. And they were all excited because that Hosanna simply means, save us now. Save us now. That's what Hosanna means. They weren't looking for eternal salvation. They were looking for deliverance from the Romans and the Roman oppression. That's what they were saying, Hosanna. Deliver us from Roman oppression now. We want you to start your kingdom, your eternal millennial kingdom, and start it now. But they weren't looking for eternal salvation. They had put the crown before the cross. And God, in his magnificent, gracious plan, first of all designed Operation Grace, the cross. He designed the fact that the eternal Son of God, on that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God would leave heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth. He came into the world and took on true humanity. That's the first advent, to take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin, which he did. And he went to that cross, and God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ, and judged them in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And then that was his spiritual death. And then he died physically and was put in a grave. And he was put in a grave for 3 days. And all the Jews kept saying, show us a sign that you are who you claim to be. You claim to be the Messiah. You claim to be the Son of God. Show us a sign. Well, Jesus did sign after sign after sign after sign, miracle after miracle. It didn't make any difference. They still didn't believe in him. He said, only a reversionistic, apostate, degenerate people ask for a sign. And I'll only give you one sign. The sign of Jonah. You kill me and put me in a grave. 3 days later, I will resurrect. Resurrection. The first resurrection in all of human history. I will come out from the grave and in a resurrection body. And that's, we're going to be studying that in great detail next Sunday. But first of all, we're going to start with Palm Sunday. Here were all these Jewish people cutting palm fronds and putting them down for Jesus riding the foal of a donkey into Jerusalem and cheering and cheering and cheering. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now. Save us now. But they were looking for deliverance from Roman oppression. They were not looking for eternal salvation. So, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah. So we're going to be studying this in our Zechariah class on Tuesday when we get to chapter 9. Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9, which says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus said on them, "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from palm trees. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna!'" There were huge crowds. They were cheering, because here was the Messiah and he was coming to deliver them from the Romans. No, he wasn't. In fact, when Jesus saw Jerusalem, he wept, because he knew that they had rejected, for the most part, there were some marvelous exceptions, but for the most part, the Jewish people rejected him. They did not believe he was the Messiah. They even said he was demon-possessed. All of these things. And they crucified him. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, hated Jesus Christ. They thought he was a false prophet and he should be executed. And they were in apostasy, degeneracy. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the omniscient, all-knowing God, knew that Titus and the Roman legions in 70 AD would destroy Jerusalem and slaughter the Jewish people. And that would be the last time Israel would be a client nation to God until Christ comes back the next time. And the next time is the second advent. When he comes back this next time, he comes back with great glory. And every eye will see him on planet Earth. Every eye. And that second advent will be a 24-hour period, because every eye on planet Earth will see Jesus Christ in all of His glory returning to the earth to establish His kingdom, the millennial kingdom on earth. That's the second advent. That's the crown. But in the plan of God, the cross must precede the crown. The cross is the first advent of Christ, His incarnation and virgin birth. The cross must precede the crown. And the first advent, Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin by His work on the cross. When He comes back the next time, He will establish His kingdom on earth. Second advent. All right. So the crowds that went ahead of Him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." In other words, save us now! They kept shouting, save us now! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And of course, at that time, the thinking of the Jewish people, nothing good comes from Nazareth. No one, nothing that's good that comes from Nazareth. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Well, they wanted the crown before the cross. They were putting the second advent of Christ before the first advent. So this is Palm Sunday. That's what Palm Sunday is about. Palm Sunday. And next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And Easter Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. So we're going to be taking a look at, we're setting aside Romans for a couple of Sunday classes, and we are going to be looking at Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first resurrection in all of human history. Now, there were some resuscitations in the Old Testament and before Jesus Christ's resurrection, but not any resurrection. The first resurrection in all of human history was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the celebration of the miraculous victory of Jesus Christ, who solved the world problem of sin and then died physically, was put in a grave, and 3 days later, resurrection. He, in a resurrection body, the first resurrection in human history, the first resurrection body in human history. As 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. The good news that Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead, powerfully rocked the first century world. The Word of God declares that Jesus Christ literally and bodily rose from the grave. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God. They kept asking, give us a sign, give us a sign, give us a sign. You claim to be the Messiah, you claim to be the Son of God. Give us a sign. Well, Jesus had made miracle, semeion signs over and over, and they still rejected Him. But Romans 1:4, who who, Jesus Christ, was powerfully declared to be the Son of God. How? By His resurrection from the dead through the Holy Spirit, that is Jesus Christ our Lord. So, what? Now, there are two returns from the dead. There are two returns from the dead. There is resuscitation, and then there is resurrection. So there is resuscitation, and there is resurrection. Two, resuscitation means a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption and then eventually dies again. That's resuscitation. So resuscitation means a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption and then he eventually dies again. And the illustration of that is the resuscitation of Lazarus. And if you turn over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is the illustration of resuscitation. And that's Lazarus. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, start at verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied, and then we have the shortest sentence in the Word of God. Jesus wept. Subject and verb. Shortest sentence in the Word of God. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And he did. He loved Lazarus. "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, Lazarus, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said in a prayer to the Father, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that first Christmas. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Faith in Christ. John 11:32-45. So there are two returns from the dead. Resuscitation, and the great illustration of that is Lazarus. Resuscitation means a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption and then eventually dies again. And then secondly is resurrection. Point three, resurrection means a person returns from the dead in a body of incorruption, a resurrection body, and never dies again. So resurrection means a person returns from the dead in a body of incorruption, a resurrection body, and never dies again. So four. Therefore, resurrection is rising from the dead in a resurrection body. Resurrection is rising from the dead in a resurrection body and never again being subject to death. Resurrection is rising from the dead in a resurrection body and never again being subject to death. Five. Resurrection is the beginning of eternity for that person. The beginning of eternity for that person. Six, resurrection is one of the basic doctrines, one of the basic doctrines in the Word of God that all believers must understand for spiritual growth. Resurrection is one of the basic doctrines in the Word of God that all believers must understand for spiritual growth. And in our Thursday night classes, we're starting a new book, Hebrews, and we're going to be studying that in Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings, basic doctrine about Christ, and go on to spiritual maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith in God and instruction about baptisms and laying on of hand and the resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Those are basic doctrines. So resurrection is one of those basic doctrines that all believers must understand for spiritual growth. Seven. Anyone who dies during the church age has an interim body. Right now you're in a physical body. When you die, You're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Face to face means there's a face of the body. So you have a body, but it's not the resurrection body. You don't receive the resurrection body until the rapture of the church, the end of the church age. And there's one generation that will be living when the rapture occurs, and they will not go through physical death, but they will receive their resurrection body while they're alive. There's one generation. Otherwise, all the rest of us in the church age, we're going to die. You're all going to die. You're all going to die. But nothing wrong with that. That's dessert. That's a promotion. That is chocolate pie, whipped cream with a maraschino cherry. Now, maybe you don't like chocolate pie, whipped cream, and a maraschino cherry. Maybe you have a different kind of dessert that you like. Whatever that dessert is, that's what physical death is. And for the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you are looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day. We don't know when, we don't know the time or the manner or anything, but we're looking forward to it. It'll be absolutely perfect for us. It'll be different. We'll all die differently. It'll be unique. But it's the perfect way that God has designed for you to transfer and be promoted into heaven. Absent from the body and face to face in an interim body, waiting for, what are we waiting for? That resurrection body at the rapture of the church. So, anyone who dies during the church age has an interim body in heaven until the resurrection of the church occurs at the rapture. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, starting at verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent, and that's describing your human body. Your human body is a skene, not skinny, just skene. Skene is a tent. Your human body is a tent. For we know that if the earthly tent, our physical body, which is our house that we're living in, is torn down, physical death, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house, physical body, we groan, longing to be clothed with the dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we have, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, physical body, we groan. There is suffering. Being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a down payment, a guarantee, a pledge. Therefore, we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, physical body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from our body and to be at home, face to face with the Lord. Face to face, when we die, and there'll be most of the church age saints will die before the rapture. And when you die, you're face to face with Jesus Christ. Absent from the physical body, face to face with Jesus Christ means you have an interim body, and you're in that interim body until the rapture of the church, and then you receive your resurrection body. So anyone who dies during the church age has an interim body in heaven until the resurrection of the church occurs at the rapture. 2 Corinthians 5:1-8. Point 8. We will have a resurrection body like Christ's resurrection body. We will have a resurrection body like Christ's resurrection body. But not all resurrection bodies will look alike. They will be like Christ's resurrection body, but there are going to be differences. In other words, 9. There are different types of resurrection bodies depending on your success or failure to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. There are different types of resurrection bodies depending on your success or failure to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, depending on your attitude toward God and toward His Word, the Word of God. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's what Easter is, Resurrection Day, Victory Day, Resurrection Day. The resurrection of Christ, the very first resurrection in all of human history, is the pattern for the first resurrection. It's the pattern for the first resurrection. So, 1. The first resurrection is pictured as a battalion pass in review. And therefore, it's divided into 4 echelons. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, starting at verse 20. First Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, Adam, by a man, the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and after that those who are Christ at His coming. And then comes the end, when He delivers up the kingdom to Thee, God, even the Father, when He has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. So, the first resurrection is pictured as a battalion pass in review, and it's divided into 4 echelons. We have Alpha Company, Bravo Company, Charlie Company, and Delta Company. 4 echelons. So first of all, Alpha Company. And Alpha Company is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The very first person who was ever resurrected in all of human history, Jesus Christ. So Alpha Company, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, We'll start at verse 22. Now, Peter is the one who's giving this sermon and teaching here. Verse 22, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Verse 24. And God raised him up again. Resurrection. 3 days later. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. And then Peter refers to a quotation from Psalm 168:11. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in confidence, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow the Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Now, Peter explains this. Verse 29. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and he was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. So the first resurrection is pictured as a battalion pass in review. Four echelon. But Alpha Company is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:22-32. But if you want to find out about Bravo, Charlie, and Delta Company, you got to come back after break. We're taking a break now. There you go.